of holiness and righteousness. Thou art the King, supreme, ruler over all, our great sovereign. And we bow before Thee. We pray that You would be with the services today. Oh, that the preaching of Thy Word, through the preaching of Thy Word, that You'd be glorified and magnified. And that our hearts would be turned away from this world and the things of this world and the troubles of this world and the things going on in our lives. And that for this time, O Lord, for this time we could just focus on Thee, keep our eyes upon Thee, and that You'd be glorified and magnified. May Your people be edified, built up in Thee, Lord Jesus. We love You because You first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen. And we'll continue our study on the attributes of God. Today's message is called The Holiness of God. Turn, if you would, to Revelation chapter 15. Revelation chapter 15. And then also put your finger in Isaiah chapter 6. Revelation chapter 15 and Isaiah chapter 6. The holiness of God. The holiness of God. Revelation 15 verses 3 to 4. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are Thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are Thy ways, Thou King of saints. Who shall not fear Thee, O Lord, and glorify Thy name? Look at this. For Thou only art holy. For Thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before Thee, for Thy judgments are made manifest. It says there, for Thou only art holy. Now turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 6, and we'll read where Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. And this is the Word of God, the second person of the Trinity, in glory before He came to this world. High and lifted up, and upon the throne. Isaiah chapter 6, we'll start in verse 1 and we'll read to verse 7. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. Notice our Lord is upon a throne. He's King. He's supreme. High and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Now remember, the length of a train established a king's dominion. And His train fills the temple. Fills the temple. He has all dominion over all things. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face. And with twain He covered His feet. And with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy. In praise to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Now, this is a vision that Isaiah is having. And look at his response to this. Then said I, Woe is me. Now, in the previous chapters, Isaiah had been saying, Woe is you, and you, and you, and you, and you. And now he gets a glimpse of who the Lord is. He gets a glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ. In His majesty. And he says, like every born-again, blood-bought sinner says, Woe is me. Woe is me. Woe is me. Look at, he says, For I am undone. And I am a man of unclean lips. He sees his own sinfulness. And then look, he sees the whole depravity of man. He says, And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And God's people by faith have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he said, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sins purged. And there's a picture of the precious blood of Christ. Now, the last time we met together, we looked at the sovereignty of God in providence and in salvation. And we saw that our God is absolutely sovereign over all. He's absolutely sovereign over all things. in providence and He's sovereign in salvation. Our God rules and He reigns as a sovereign King. And we see that right there in Isaiah 6, don't we? We see it right there before us in the Scriptures. And today we'll be looking at another one of God's attributes, which is the holiness of God. The holiness of God. Over there in Revelation chapter 15, it said, For thou only art holy. For thou only art holy. And that's in a reference to our great God. That's in a reference to our King. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 89. And then put your finger in Isaiah. Isaiah. We'll be going through a few different scriptures in Isaiah. Our God is called the Holy One throughout the Scriptures. The Holy One. Look at this in Psalm 89, verse 18. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. The Holy One of Israel. That's our God. That's the one we looked at in Isaiah chapter 6. That's the one who we saw proclaimed as Thou alone. Thou only art holy in Revelation 15. And then turn to Isaiah chapter 12, if you would. And then Isaiah chapter 29. And we'll just look at a couple places here. There's more in the Scriptures where He's called the Holy One. We'll just glance at a few Scriptures here. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 6. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion. And we know Zion is a picture of the church. For great is the Holy One of Israel. There He is. The Holy One of Israel. In the midst of thee. And then Isaiah 29, verses 18 and 19. And in that day, verse 18, shall the deaf hear the words of the book. And the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in who? The Holy One of Israel. Who do we rejoice in, beloved? We rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. We rejoice in our great God and King. We rejoice in our Redeemer. And He is the Holy One. He's the Holy One. He's God incarnate in the flesh. Over there in Isaiah 40, verse 25, it says this, to whom shall ye liken me, or whom shall I be equal, saith what? The Holy One. All through Scripture, look at that, Isaiah 40, verse 25. All through Scripture, He's called the Holy One. He alone is holy. He alone is holy. And a believer in Christ is, how are we made holy? Only in Christ. Only in Christ alone. Isaiah 40, verse 25. To whom then will ye liken me? Or who shall I be equal? There is no equals to our God. He is so far above us. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. He's the Holy One. He's the Holy One. The Holy One. Now I'll go to Isaiah 43. And then we'll go to Luke chapter 4. And this is just establishing, and as I said, this is just a few of the Scriptures. If you want to look up more, just type in or get a concordance and look at the Holy One and see how many times this is referenced. Isaiah 43, verses 14 to 15. Thus saith the Lord your Redeemer. That's our Redeemer. Who's our Redeemer? The Lord Jesus Christ. What's He called? The Holy One of Israel. The Holy One of Israel. That's our God. That's our Savior. For your sakes I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. I, the Lord, I am the Lord, your Holy One. The Creator of Israel, your King. Now go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Do you know that the demons proclaim that God is holy? That God is holy. Look at this in Luke chapter 4. We know that our Lord is God incarnate in the flesh. We know that. So we've seen there in the book of Isaiah some passages, and that one in Psalm 89, where our Lord is called the Holy One. Luke chapter 4, verses 31 to 35. He came down to Capernaum, the city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine. They were astonished at the doctrine of Christ. For his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Look at this. Art thou come to destroy us?" They know he has all power. They know he has all power. Look at this. "I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." In Isaiah, we saw him called the Holy One. In Revelation 15, only God is holy. The demons know who he is. They know who he is. The Holy One. God incarnate in the flesh. That's our Savior. That's our Lord. Our Lord and Savior is God incarnate in the flesh. And here he's called the Holy One of God. And the devils know and they tremble. See? I remember when I was in some religious groups and they talked more about Satan and about his power. Satan is on a leash. God has all power. Satan can only do what God allows him to do. We see that in the book of Job, don't we? He says, you can go, you can take these things, but you cannot take his life. Our God is in absolute sovereign control. He is the sovereign King of the universe, beloved. All things, visible and invisible, are subject to Him. Subject to Him. And the one who they're subject to, the Lord Jesus Christ, is our Redeemer. Is our Redeemer. What a hope we have. What a Redeemer we have in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Lord is not only perfectly holy as man, but infinitely and essentially holy as God. He is the Holy One. He is the Holy One, beloved. He is the fountain of holiness. We are made holy in Him. In Him. In Christ alone. And let us remember, too, that God is the only one who is holy, and He is independently, infinitely, and immutably holy. We do not change Him. Our worship doesn't change Him. It doesn't add anything to Him. Nothing at all. He is independently, infinitely, and immutably holy. He's called the Holy One. The Holy One. Because holiness is only found in Him. All we are is sin. We're born dead in trespasses and sin, aren't we? But we're redeemed by the Holy One. We who are His people are redeemed by the Holy One. He is divine. We are finite. Our God is great and glorious in holiness. The Scripture declare that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. No darkness at all. Our God is absolutely holy. In Habakkuk it says this, "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and cannot look upon iniquity." Oh my. He is perfect, pure holiness. The total opposite of what we are. The total opposite of what we are. We're sin. Everything we do, our best prayers are tainted with sin. Everything we do is tainted with sin. Everything, He's absolutely holy. He's absolutely holy. Oh my. He is perfect, the Holy One. Second Chronicles says this. Second Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21. "And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness." The beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord for His mercy, endureth forever. Oh, and the Lord and our King, we see the beauty of holiness. He alone is holy, beloved. Stephen Chinnark, an old Puritan writer, says this of God's holiness. Power is God's hand or arm. Omniscience, His eye. Mercy, His bowels. Eternity, His duration. But holiness is His beauty. Holiness is His beauty. Our God is absolutely holy. Absolutely holy. Now think how this renders our God absolutely lovely in the eyes of the redeemed of the Lord. In the eyes of those who have been purchased by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Delivered from the dominion, the penalty, and the power of sin. Delivered from the curse of all our sins. Delivered from the law of God, having it fulfilled in Christ and Christ alone. Think of how this renders our Savior lovely in our eyes. Absolutely lovely. Is it any wonder then that the Lord is called the fairest of 10,000 among His people? The fairest of 10,000. He's absolutely lovely. Absolutely lovely. To those He's redeemed. Our holy God has made His people holy in Christ. If you're one of His blood-bought people, you are made holy in Christ. Holy in Christ. And you know why? So we can be in His presence. Because sin cannot be in His presence. Therefore, the believer is clothed in that perfect, spotless righteousness of Christ. And we can be in the presence of God. Don't ever let it become commonplace. This is amazing. This is truly amazing that sinners who are purchased by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate in the flesh, can stand in the presence of a holy God. The Holy One. The Holy One, Scriptures. The One who angels have to cover their face in His presence. My. This is a great redemption. We who are His born-again, blood-washed people, this is a great, great redemption that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 6 again, just quickly. The holiness of our God and the perfection of who our God is proclaimed by the seraphim before the throne of God. Isaiah chapter 6, we looked at this in our introduction, but let's look at this again. In the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims, and each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the doors moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Now this is God. The Scriptures here before us are proclaiming who God is. He's not someone up there who just hands out things to everybody and just, you know, people, the way some people talk about God, He's their best friend and He's just their buddy and all this stuff. God is holy. God is righteous. God is a King upon a throne. And when the believer approaches God, we approach God only because of the basis of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we approach Him, as the Scripture says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. But that fear is a reverent fear. Look at who He is. It's not a slavish fear, but it's a reverent fear of awe of His holiness. In awe of who He is. He's God upon the throne. And think that God upon the throne here became a man and redeemed our souls. My, what condescension. What condescension. And here the seraphims cry unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Isaiah in a vision gets a glimpse of the holiness of God. And here we have before us seraphim singing in unison the praises of the Lord. praises of the Lord. Also take note in verse 2, they have to cover themselves in the presence of our holy God. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. They have to cover themselves. Holy angels have to cover themselves in the presence of the Holy One of God. God on His throne. And then we see the perfect cry out to the perfect triune God. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The three in one. Therefore the cry is, Holy, Holy, Holy. Again, God is independently holy. And our God singles Himself out in perfection. Psalm 89:35 says, Once have I sworn by Thy holy. He's absolutely holy. A.W. Pink brings out that God swears by His holiness because that is a fuller expression of Himself than anything else. He's absolutely holy. He's absolutely holy. And what are the saints of God exhorted to do in Psalm 30, verse 4? What are the saints of God exhorted to do in light of this wonderful attribute, in light of the holiness of our great God? What is the saint of God exalted to do? Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints, and give His thanks at the remembrance of what? His holiness. Remember how holy God is. Never forget that. How holy He is. It'll leave us in awe, beloved. Absolute awe of who our God is. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. 1 Chronicles 16:29. And when He had counseled with the people, again He appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of His holiness. We are to praise the beauty of the holiness of our God. The beauty of His holiness. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 29. Psalm 29. And then put your finger in Psalm 110. Psalm 29. In Psalm 110, the beauty of His holiness. Oh, and He's absolutely beautiful to His people. Psalm 29, verse 2. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. Our Lord and Savior was absolutely perfect. He's the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. And we rejoice, don't we? We who are His redeemed people. We who are His blood-bought people. We rejoice in the beauty of His holiness. Of who He is. God incarnate in the flesh. The perfect, spotless Lamb of God. Sinless. Sinless. The Lamb without blemish. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. It says in Psalm 29:2. Worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. Now think of this. God's people are clothed in the beauty of His holiness. That's the righteousness of Christ, beloved. That's the righteousness of Christ. It's given to us by the One who we are to worship in the beauty of His holiness. We are given the perfect, spotless righteousness of Christ that we may stand in the presence of our great God. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 110:3. Psalm 110:3. This is a verse we often quote. Often quoted from this pulpit, often quoted from grace pulpits. Showing us that God is the one who makes the sinner willing to come to Christ. There's another nugget placed in here though also. Psalm 110:3, it says, Thy people shall be willing in the day of whose power? God's power. Thy power. God's people are made willing to come to Christ. In our natural state, we know from Scripture, in our natural state, there's none that seeketh after God. There's none righteous, no, not one. But it says in this Scripture, Thy people shall be made willing in the day of Thy power. We who have no ability to come to Christ are granted faith and repentance to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ by the One who has all ability and all power. God makes us willing to flee to Christ. Thy people shall be willing in the day of Thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of Thy youth. Note in the beauty of holiness here, John Gill brings forth that this speaks of the robe of righteousness. The robe of righteousness and the garments of salvation. The best robe. The wedding garment. Remember the father said for the prodigal son, bring forth the best robe. Singular, right? That pictures the righteousness of Christ being given to us by the Father. The best robe. The best robe, beloved. In the beauties of His holiness. Which, again, pictures the righteousness of Christ. God's people, when they're born again by the power of the Holy Spirit and made willing to come to Christ, granted faith and repentance to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they are clothed in the perfect, spotless righteousness of Christ. Of Christ. Though we are still sinners, God looks upon us and what does He see? Christ's righteousness. Christ's righteousness. And the believer, praise God, is fully, freely forgiven. Set apart by God. Set apart by God. All our sins are forgiven. Forgiven. Paid for. We are redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God will remember our sin no more, right? As far as the east is from the west. Oh my. Oh my. What a Savior. The believer's sins were bought and paid for in full at Calvary's cross by the Lord Jesus Christ. And what are we? What are we, beloved? We are just simply receivers of this mercy and grace. Receivers of this mercy and grace. And we love it. We praise our great God, don't we? Because we know we never would have sought Him. We're just like that lost sheep in Luke 15. And the Lord has to come to us. We never sought Him at all. But He came to us, didn't He? He found us when we were lost. We didn't even know we were lost. We didn't even know. Picked us up and He was rejoicing. Oh my. Born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Matthew Poole brings forth here about the beauties of holiness again. In the beauties of holiness, he brings forth this, we're adorned with the beautiful and glorious robes of righteousness and true holiness, wherewith all new men are, or true Christians are clothed with, and various gifts and graces of God's Spirit, which are beautiful in the eyes of God. God sees us in Christ. And the only way we are beautiful before our God is in Christ alone. Clothed in that righteousness. Stephen Chinnock brings this forth again about the holiness of our great God. Everything about our God is tied to His holiness. Tied to His holiness. His justice is what? A holy justice. That must be satisfied. Either in the sinner or in the substitute. It has to be satisfied. It has to be. His wisdom is holy wisdom. Holy wisdom. His arm of power is called the holy arm in Scripture. His truth or promise, a holy promise. A holy promise. His name, which signifies all His attributes in conjunction, is holy. We saw that. He's the Holy One. He's the Holy One. And the Scriptures declare that our God's holiness is manifest in His works. Look at Psalm 145:17. 145:17. God's holiness is manifest in His works. Holiness is the rule of all His actions, beloved. When He created the heavens and earth, He pronounced that He had made them very good. If they were imperfect, He could not have proclaimed this. Man at the beginning was made upright in the image of, in likeness of his Creator. The angels were created holy. And those who fell, we are told, kept not their first estate. This in Psalm 145:17, the Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. Holy in all His works. So man at the beginning was made upright before we fell. And we fell in Adam, every one of us. Every one of us. Said of Satan, it said of Satan, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. In the book of Exodus, chapter 15, verse 11, this is proclaimed about our great God. Who is like unto thee, O Lord? Who's like unto our God? Who's like? Nobody. Nothing is like unto our God. O Lord among the gods, who is like thee? Glorious, what's he glorious in? Holiness. Glorious in holiness. Fearful in praises, doing wonders. Our great God is glorious in holiness. The essence of God's glory is His holiness. Holiness is His nature. Holiness is not only one of God's many attributes, like the fact that He's all-knowing and all-powerful and omnipresent. Holiness is the essence of all of God's attributes. Think upon this. The Bible, what's it called? The Holy Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures. Christ is, we saw in Luke, the Holy One of God. The Holy One of God. The law of God, what is it? It's a holy law, isn't it? It's a holy, it comes from God. It's a holy law. It's a holy law. And it's only holy because of the one who gave it. The one who gave it. Morally pure. The one who gave it is morally pure and perfect. And the holiness of God brings forth the supreme absolute greatness of our God. That's what it does. It brings before us the supreme absolute greatness of our God. Who He is. Who He is. It's that what the holiness of God is, that what sets Him apart from all other things. It sets Him apart. He's so infinitely above all His creatures and all of His creation. He is the Holy One. And to think that man, who's a piece of animated dust, thinks that God is at their beck and call. That's why we beg for mercy, isn't it? Because we've been showing that our God is holy. He's absolutely holy and righteous. And He is at no one's beck and call. He does whatever He pleases, whenever He pleases, with whatever He pleases. That's our God. That's our God. The Scriptures declare that the law is holy. The commandment holy and just and good. And the commandment of the Lord is pure and light in the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean and enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Again, it's holy because of who gives it. It's holy because of who gives it. Let us consider that the place where the greatest manifestation of God's love, Calvary's cross for His people, was on display is the place, very place where the holiness of God is on full display as well. It's manifested at Calvary's cross, where our Lord Jesus Christ died for the sins of His people as their substitute. He died for the sins of His people before God because we had offended His holy law and His holy justice. And it must be satisfied. It must be satisfied. Either in the sinner or the Savior. The atonement of Christ displays God's infinite holiness in abhorrence of sin. Think upon how hateful sin must be to God for Him to punish to the utmost. And to pour His wrath out upon our Savior when our sins were imputed to Him. Think of just how holy our God is and how holy His justice and law are, that they can only be satisfied in the sacrifice of the perfect, sinless One, the Lord Jesus Christ. My. And He did that for me. And if you believe, He did it for you. My. God is holy, and therefore He hates all sin. He loves everything which is in conformity to His laws and loathes everything which is contrary to it. The Scriptures declare the forward is an abomination to the Lord. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. God therefore must punish sin. He must punish sin. And let us always remember that we who are the redeemed are forgiven on the basis, on the grounds of another. The Scriptures declare without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. None. Therefore, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate in the flesh, the sinless one dies before God as a substitute for God's people. And the proclamation comes forth, beloved, the blessed words, it is finished. It's paid for. Salvation is done. Absolutely done. The work of redemption is complete. And our holy God is satisfied in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the demands of God's holy law is satisfied in the life and sacrifice of Christ. And the holy justice of God is satisfied having been poured out upon Christ in the place of His blood-bought bride. Our God is the Holy One, and acceptance with Him is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. No other way. Acceptance on the grounds of the creature is impossible. But acceptance is only found in Christ with God. Can darkness dwell with light? Can the Immaculate One take pleasure in filthy rags, which are our righteousness are said to be? No, the best that sinful man brings forth is defiled with sin. It's defiled with sin. Blessed be God that when His holiness, that what His holiness demanded, He provided. He provided. His holiness demands perfection to the law, doesn't it? Absolute perfection. Christ lived the perfect life for His people, fully satisfying all that God demanded. And those who have fled to Christ as the only refuge of their souls are saved. The believer is therefore stands accepted in the beloved. And that's why we say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Because acceptance is only in Christ and Christ alone, nowhere else. The believer is accepted by God in the beloved. That's Christ. That's Christ. The believer is made holy in Christ. And we can approach the throne of God only based upon His merit and His righteousness. Oh my. And the very peace of God sanctify, which means to make you holy. And I pray that God, your whole spirit and soul body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this time that we've had together. We pray that You be with us in the next service, Lord. Oh, we pray You be glorified and magnified. We pray as we take communion that, oh Lord, we would just rejoice in the wonderful things that Thou hast done for Your people. Glory to You, Lord, and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.